The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. Tisku L'mitzvot. Daf Lamed. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Fuash Shirema Hacham Obadiah Yosef Ben Gurjia Inna Refanalo Inna Refanalo Inna Refanalo Fatanevich Fataguf. If we are talking about the Mavichin Yinasom and Omar, Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'alu Nishmat HaMeruhemet Sheneftir B'Kitzur Yamin B'Shani Mazal Bat Frida Ruach Hashem Tanichena B'Gan Eden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied in honor of Roger and Raquel Baghdadi, our dear friends from Aventura, Florida. Hashem Alehem Yehyu, Amen. We begin today's daf on Cheftet Amud Bet, actually at the new Mishnah. And we begin Lula v'gazul v'yavesh pasul. So our Mishnah discusses, actually, our first Mishnah discusses the laws of lulav. Rashi just tells us lulav kaf shel temarim. That's the palm branches. And then the Mishnayot are going to teach us about the hadas, and then of course the arabah. So the first focus over here is the lulav. Let's just review. The Torah does say on Sukkot, ukhtem lachem bayom arishon pri ayin sadar v'anav v'kapot temarim v'anav etzavot bar benachal, that on the first day of Sukkot for the next 7 days, one has to take the four species, one of them being the palm branch, which we call in the halakha a lulav. So the Mishnah tells us lulav agazul, if lulav is stolen, so the Mishnah says pasul. Now why is it pasul? As she says, because it says ukhtem lachem. Lachem, mishil lachem. So you have to have ownership. Okay, now even though it only says it on the first day, ukachtem lachem bayom arishon, so the Gemara will discuss what about the subsequent days of Sukkot. Is there a psul of gezel or not? But for sure on the first day, there clearly is a psul of gezel because of the word lachem. Vayavesh pasul, a lulav that dries out. Rashi says, what's the psul in a lulav that dries out? The ba'inan mitzvah mehuderet dechti v'andehu. The pasul says, ze eli v'andehu, this is my God, I'll beautify him. Which means, itna'el lefanav mitzvot. You bring the nice mitzvot, a dried out lulav, is a psul in andehu. So Tosfot esu on Rashi, Rashi says, since when is the ze eli v'andehu a psul that's ma'akev? Ze eli v'andehu is the chetayla, it's supposed to make the mitzvot nice, but it's not ma'akev. So Tosfot has a different Mekor. Tosfot says the source for Yavesh is Hadar, because the Pasuk says Pni Aitz Hadar, that the Etrog has to be beautiful. And the Gemara later on is going to compare all the other three species to Etrog, and therefore they all need Hadar. So therefore, since a dry Lulav is not pretty, it's not beautiful, therefore it's going to be Pasul. The Yerushalmi has a third opinion. The Pasuk says, Lo Ametim Yahalleluya. The dead cannot praise you. A Lulav that's dry is like dead, and therefore cannot praise Borei Olam. The question is, in the Rishonim, Sfot discusses, what's the shiur of dryness? So Shitat Tosfot is, it's brittle enough that you could crack it with your nail. Which is, you run your nail across it, let's say, and it just falls apart. That's considered the shiur of Yovesh. But Avad holds that once already the greenness of the lulav starts to turn white, that's already a shiur in Yovesh. And then the Rishonim also discuss, what's the shiur? How much of the lulav has to become Yovesh to consider it pasul? But we'll wait till we get to the Gemara. To later on. Right, some want to say it's Rov, that's the Rosh's opinion. Rov alulav has to be pasul. Some say only the Shidra, the actual spine. When we say the word Shidra, that's the spine, the thick column that runs across the lulav. Okay. Comes the Mishnah, continues. Shel Asherah Veshil Edani Da'at Pasul. Asherah, she says, Ilan Shavdin Oto Avodah Zarah. It's a tree that they worship as Avodah Zarah. We'll begin with Farish Ta'ma. The Gemara is going to explain why is a tree, palm tree that is, that's worshipped for Avodah Zarah, why is it Pasul for a
lulav. Vishilan nidachat, Rashi, that's a city that the majority of its inhabitants worship Avodah Zarah. The law of that city is you have to burn everything, all the inhabitants and all the objects. Bishum d'lesrefa kaya, because it's destined to be burnt. Tichtiv ve'et kol shlala, all its booty of the city. Tikbots, you gather in the city. Velula, now, so what's the psul? Meaning you have to burn the lulavim as well. Velulav ba'esh shi'ud dalet tefachim. A lulav, what's the shiur of a lulav? Four tefachim. Kedelkaman, the kevan de'ay l'srefa kae, and since this is destined to be burned, en shi'uro kayam de kasaruf dameh. So she says the whole thing here. She says, since it's destined to be burnt, the way the Gemara uses the language, chetutem mechtat shi'ureh. The shi'ur of the lulav is burnt. And therefore, even though it's not burnt, meaning you're holding on to a regular lulav, but since it's destined to be burnt, it's considered burnt. And therefore, it's lacking shi'ur, which means that she's going out of his way to tell us that the psul is you don't have a shi'ur. Obviously, if something is destined to be burnt, it's considered a pasula, it's hasid and shi'ur, which means enough coming out. Let's say you had an item that comes from an asherah, or in an idahat, that's destined to be burnt, but it doesn't need a shi'ur. That's an item, whatever it is. Type of mitzvah, there's no shiur to it. So according to this, the chaura, it would be okay. I mean, the whole hasaron of Iran Idat is because by something that's destined to be burnt, it lacks shiur. And since the lulav needs a minimum shiur of 4 tefachim, it doesn't have it. So that's that deen. Now we go to the next case. The next case is niktam rosho nifresu ala pasul. We go one case at a time. Niktam rosho literally means the top of the lulav, the tip of the lulav was cut. Niktam. So what's the psul in that? So that she says pasul velo avi hadar, because it's not hadar. It's not beautiful. Now there's other ishurim also that I have over here. Tosfot, for example, in his first perush over here, he says over here the top two leaves of the lulav are cut. That's the way he learns niktam rosho. Okay, the top two that come out of the shidra of the lulav. Tosfot in his second interpretation says niktam rosho is rov ha'alin ha'elyonim. The majority of the top elyonim, the top leaves are cut off. So basically, you have those two opinions of Tosfot. You have the opinion also of the rishonim that want to say that it's the kiyomet, the top leaf, the tallest of the leaf. If that's cut, right, the highest one, if that's cut, then the lulav is pasul. So that's right. As she's doing the psul is in hadar. Correct. Right. That was the Avehu. This is already that's different psulim. Correct. The Avehu is only the din in hadar, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Now, what's the next case? Nifritsu alav. Now, nifritsu alav literally means the leaves were scattered. Rashi mishidra. They fell off the spine. Ve'ena mechubarim. They're not attached because they became detached. Ela al yedei aguda. The only way they're staying attached is through a tie. Okay? Ki hufya shekorin eshkuba lavadar. Hufya is like a broom, which means it's all scattered. If you look at the pictures in the Hamaora Mevoar, picture 155, you see, you have the leaves are scattered. The only way it's staying together is to have a tie. So it's nifritsu alav. Right. It's also going to be pasur. It's like a broom. That's what it says. Kimetata, a brush. Okay, now we go to the next case. Nifredu alav kasher. Now, what is nifredu? So that she says nifredu mechubarin in meshedra. It's still attached to the spine. Ela shelemal lehin nifredin lekan ulkan kan feilan. On top, they're just scattered. Right? They're not closed. It's open like a picture number 156. It's all attached to the shedra. Still, it's just, you know, they're scattered out like leaves of a tree. Okay, so Tana Kama says kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer yagdenu milemala. Rabbi Yehuda says ulav has to be kafut, because it says in the pasuk kapot temarim. Kapot, kafut. Kafut means tied. So therefore, even if it's a little scattered, not enough. You have to actually tie it on the top to keep it whole. Lashi. Yagdenu milemala im nifredu alav yagdim shu olin im shidra kishal lulavim. That they go up with the spine like all other lulavim, meaning attached to the spine together. Now we go to the last case of the Mishnah. Sine hara barzel kisherot. Those are palm trees that grow in a place called hara barzel. Now they are special types of lulavim. They're kisherot. What's the chiddush about these lulavim? Their spine is a long spine, let's say, but the leaves do not go all the way up the spine. what happens is the leaves are short. So one leaf grows, and then the top of that leaf, the next leaf starts. The root of the next leaf is at the head of the leaf below it. That's how it goes up on the lulav. You see in your picture books, number 157, you see? You have the shidra, so you have the leaf starting from the bottom and start going up. Right at the top of the first leaf, the next one starts. Right, the rosh of the first one is right next to the ikar of the second one. Again, it grows up the whole one. Now, since that's the way they grow, that's the derech for them to grow. Therefore, it's going to be considered kashin, even though normally lulav, the leaves, I go all the way up. Here, no, there's short leaves, but since that's the derech dilatan, it's okay. Nashi, tzine ara barzim, mefanesh begemara, tzine dekalim. Okay, these are the palms, the palm trees. Kishenot, lulavim shelahem, ve'afapi she'alim shelahem ketanim me'od, ve'en olim imurkash shedra. They don't reach the full length of the shedra, it's still kasher. Last din of the Mishnah, lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tefachim kedei l'aneya bo kasher, lulav that has three tefachim in order to shake. The Gemara is going to say that in order to shake means and another tefach in order to shake, which is really saying a lulav that has four tefachim is kasher. Now Rashi teaches us kedei l'aneya bo, what are you shaking the lulav at all for? Who introduced us shaking? It says mefarish b'Gemara shlosha tefachim teyash shedra. The three tefachim of the shidra of the lulav can make it urkash al hadas. That's the same shiur as the hadas. The tefach yoter plus an extra tefach kedei l'naneya. Tebaina ni'nuwa kedei kaman. It's going to say ma'ale morid morid chumevi la'atzur uchot ra'oti. Hidush of the shaking of the lulav, it stops bad winds. And bad news, which means it affects the weather, the shaking of the lulav somehow. And therefore you have to shake it. Now when you have the lulav, three tefachim plus an extra tefach, so you can see the lulav shaking, because it's one tefach above the hadasim. So that's the shiur of the Mishnah. You need a lulav, minimum shiur, four tefachim. Shosha tefachim plus an extra tefach, nilinaneya, means so you can see the lulav above the hadasim, which is three tefachim, in order to shake it, you can shake it. And now the Gemara is going to begin to analyze. Comes the Gemara and says, Ka pasek v'taneh. The Mishnah gives a conclusive ruling and stated, which means when the Mishnah said, Lulav agazul v'yavesh pasul, it didn't make a difference between the first day or the second day. Ka pasek v'taneh. The Tanah's posek t'alacha, a blanket statement, which is it does not mechalek. La shena biyom tov rishon, ve'la shena biyom tov sheni. Which means there is no difference between the first day or the second day. Meaning when it comes to the psul of gazul and yavesh, first day or second day is the same. So the Gemara analyzes. Bishlama yavesh. I can understand why the psul of yavesh, doesn't matter which day it is, first day or second day. Hadar ba'inan veleka. Which means it's a psul in hadar, which is the Torah says it's got to be hadar veleka. And it's not. Which means, intrinsically in the lulav itself, it says it has to be beautiful. It has to be nice. And therefore, if it's not nice, it doesn't matter if it's the first day, it doesn't matter if it's the second day, I understand why it's going to be pasul. Ela gazul bishlama yom tov rishon dechtiv lachem v'shelachem. Ela biyom tov sheni amai lo. Gazul, it's only pasul on the first day. Because it says, ulkachtem lachem bayom arishon lachem. Which is the psul in lachem is a first day item. Okay, but the second day lachaura, gazul, shouldn't be a problem. And the Mefarshim say, which means gazul is not a din in the etzem lulav itself. Which means it also says in the first day, kachtem lachem bayom arishon pri etz hadar. The word hadar is also written on the first day. But the point is, a din in hadar is a din intrinsically in the lulav itself. And then what makes sense, the din that are affecting the actual look and the image of the lulav itself, that applies every day, which is why the first way be different. But gazul is a din in the lulav. It's not a din intrinsically of the lulav. Okay. And therefore we're going to say wherever it says, it says. It says by Yom Rishon, so that's the psul. Yom Rishon, it should be okay. So how does the Mishnah say a blanket statement? So the Gemara says, let's read Rashi. Kapasik v'tane psul. Mishnah just says psul. Lo shina biyom tov rishon dechayuva medeoraita. Right, according to the halakha, the only chayuv medeoraita in lulav is on the first day. The 7 days that they shake lulav was only in the Bet HaMikdash, but outside the Bet HaMikdash is only a chayuv of one day, because it says in the pasuk usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elohechem shivat shemim. 7 days you'll be in front of Hashem. So therefore, the chayuv of 7 days lulav was only in the Bet HaMikdash. So that she comes along and says, "Lo shenah biyom tov sheni deleta bentilat lulav ela midrabanan." Second day the lulav is only midrabanan. The biyom arishon ketiv. Peshta ma yavesh psul midrabanan nameh. I can say even it's psul midrabanan. Why? Kevante mitzvahu mishum zechel lemikdash. And she says, listen. Second the Mikdash, since the Mikdash, you had to do it 7 days Be'idur, Ba'ina Nidur Mitzvah. However, when it comes to the other, the Din in Gezel, Amaylo, Me'echatiti the Mitzvah. Right. Who told you to be Posil Gezel on the second day? So Amar of Yohanan, Mishur of Shimon, Ben Yochai, so he comes along and says, Mishum Da'avele Mitzvah Ba'avera, new reason. On the first day, you're right, it's Pasul because of Lachem. On the second day, you're right. Mina Torah, technically, there's no din in Achim. Right. But what are you going to do? You want to go in now and steal a lulav? If you're going to steal a lulav, now you're going to serve God in the mitzvah that you got it by stealing it. So that introduces us to the concept of a mitzvah, haba'a ba'avira. That the mitzvah was done, but it came through doing an avira. So that's a new sevara. Why the lulav is going to be pasul the subsequent days of Sukkot? Look at the top Rashi. We'll go a little further. And the mitzvah ba'avera is pasul. Okay, so the first day it's a din in lachem. Okay, and the subsequent days is also because of even without the lachem, you have the. Well, that's a question. If it's a deoraita, a psul, or not. According to Tosafot, he learns that the psula mitzvah ba'avera is only a din in derabbanan. And that's the way the many rishonim learn as well. I should point out that other rishonim do hold that it's a psul in the Torah. So it's a machloket actually rishonim, how to learn what extent the mitzvah ba'avera. Now here we're only talking on the rabbinical level because after the first day, lulav is only midrabbanan anyway. So I mean, it's not, it can't be more than the mitzvah itself. But the point is, that's a psul. Now, there's another machloket rishonim, how to learn mitzvah ba'avera. According to Rashi, once you stole the lulav, finished. Even though you're going to use the mitzvah later, it's stolen goods already. So therefore, it's mitzvah ba'avera. According to Tosfot, he's saying mitzvah shema that what? Mitzvah ba'avera is only when you're fulfilling the mitzvah at the time of the avera. Which means like you stole the lulav, and at the second that you stole the lulav, you were yotzeh. Which is the mitzvah was fulfilled at the time of the avera. It has to be close. According to Tosfot, if a person, let's say, stole something, and then later he did the mitzvah, could be a mitzvah ba'avera. The proof of mitzvah ba'avera actually is from Korbanot. The pasuk says, this pasuk is in Malachi. Vahavetem gazul ve'et ha-piseyach ve'et ha-chole. It's talking about bringing different types of korbanot. Gazul, that's a stolen korban. But the piseyah. Piseyah is an animal that is lame. It's limping. Okay? Ve'eta chole, or a sick korban. The common name between all these korbanot is their pasul. So the Gemara says, gezel or gazul dumyad de piseyah. The stolen korban is similar to the korban that is lame. Ma piseyah let le takanta. Just like the lame korban has no takanta, why? That she says, "Le'achar zeman naklimo." You can never bring it. Why? Sharim mum kavua olamitu. Because that's a permanent blemish. The animal will never recover. Af gazul let le takanta. So to gazul, there is no remedy. Once the animal is stolen, you cannot bring it as a korban. Rashi, yalfinan mina de'en lo takana le'achar zeman. Which means even after time, you cannot bring it. That Rashi says, "Va'afilu biyush." Even if, let's say, the owner gave up hope. The Gemara teaches us in Baba Mitziah that when an item is, let's say, lost, but in this case stolen, and the owner gives up hope from retaining it, which means he says, "Va'i li l'hasar onkis." He says, "You know what? Finished, I'm not getting it back." That's called Yush. So Rashi tells us, even if you know for a fact that the owners gave up hope, the Shamina Nelimare, you heard the owner say, Timiyaesh Ba'amar Vai Lel Hasron Kis. He said, "Woe to me, I lost my money." The Afalgav de Anyan Makne, even though regarding owning it, Aminim Baba Kamad de Kane de Biyush, which you have a law that says if something was, let's say, stolen and the owners made Yush, the thief owns the item now. Yeush is koneh. Doesn't mean he can keep the item conclusively. He has to return money. But the item itself he owns. We're learning that dinei gezeirah now. When a guy steals something, right? It's a thief, it's not his. But if the owner says, he's relinquishing hope of getting it back, now the gazlan owns it. Now, all he has to pay back is money. Even though the ma'a say when he stole the animal, the guy in front of him says, you know what? I'm not getting this back. He says, so you know for a fact, the guy gave up, so it's your animal. Yeah. The bottom line, since it came to you through Gezim, you stole it, even though right now, technically it's yours, that she wants to say, it's Ba'avira, no good. It's like a Piseyach. Just like a Piseyach.
Eno
Takana. So to Gezim, Eno Takana, even if he ends up owning it. That's the way. That's the way that she is understanding it. No, it doesn't matter. Yes, this animal itself came to you by gezeirah. It's finished. There's no takata. Exactly. Now comes the Gemara and continues. Gemara says, La shena lifnei yush. Gemara clearly doesn't matter what's before yush. La shena leachar yush. So that the Gemara analyzes. Bishlama lifnei yush. I understand before the guy gives up hope. Adam ki yakrib mikem amar rahmana. When the Torah talks about korbanot, it says a fellow that will bring a korban from his own, mikem. So before Yush, it's not yours. I can understand why the korban is pasul. Velavdineu, it's not his. Ela lahari Yush, but after the guy makes Yush, ha kanya bi Yush. What do you mean? You own it now, so therefore it's not a problem, it's mikem. Ela la mishum navi le mitzvah ba'avera. So what must the reason be? Not because you don't own it. You do own it. But there's a new psul there. Mitzvah ba'avera, since it came to your hands, begezel, even though Yehush ended up bringing ownership to it, that's the pasul, okay? Now that's the way that she understands the sugya. It should be noted that the Tosfot over here has a different understanding of the sugya. Tosfot holds, like I mentioned, if you owned it before the mitzvah was done, that's not considered mitzvah ba'avera. Which means, if you, let's say, took the Qurban, the guy made Yush, now you own it, it's not mitzvah ba'avera now. Because when you sanctify it as a Qurban, it was yours already. Oh. So she says the Isur of Avera has to be at the Sha'at of the mitzvah. So how does Rashi, Tosfot learn? So Tosfot holds like this. Tosfot holds that the reason why Qurban Gazul is a mitzvah ba'avera, because he holds, he's going according to the opinion that says Yush is not koneh. Now, if Yehush is not koneh, when does the animal become his? You need Yehush plus Shinui Yeshut. You need Yehush, the owner's giving up hope, and then you have to transfer possession. You need two things, Yehush plus Shinui Yeshut. I mean, the animal has to transfer possession. Now, in this case, when's the animal transferring possession? When you make an Hikdesh. It's going from his Reshut into the Reshut of Gavoah. So therefore, at that moment, when he's saying, Areze Hikdesh, that's what he's becoming mitzvah ba'avera, because that's what it becomes his. And therefore, according to Tosfot, that's after learning the case. That's talking about Yehush. He says is not koneh, and since Yehush is not koneh, so at the time nothing happened yet. But at the time that I'm saying harizeh gdesh, oh, so now it's koneh. So now now he's becoming now there's gezel at the time of the sanctification, and therefore it's mitzvah ba'avera. Even it should be noted now that when the Torah says lachem on the first day, the Chara has no difference between the first day and the subsequent days. Bottom, every day you cannot use gezel, but there's a difference in the first day. But the Torah says lachem on the first day, you can't even use the borrowed lulav. Where on the second subsequent days, a borrowed lulav is okay. That's nafkamina between the first day and the other. Gezel, there's no nafkamina. It's asur all seven. But lulav sha'ul, sha'ula is pasul on the first day because it's katem lachem. But the subsequent days, lulav sha'ul is permissible. Okay, now we continue the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk? Where's this pasuk? This would be in Yeshaya. Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat. Tori Olam says, I am the God that loves justice. Sone gezel be'ola, and I hate stolen korbanot. Now, the Chaura, for God to get a Qurban that's stolen, nothing to God is stolen, because everything belongs to God.
Right.
A person could steal it, but by the way, when you're giving it to Borei Olam, to Hashem, it's not stolen, meaning it's his. But still, what does Borei Olam say? I hate stolen korbanot. So the Gemara says, Mashal, the Melech Masar Vadam, Shaya Ovid al Bet HaMeches. You have a king, a mortal human king. He was passing by the tax collector. Amala Avadav, so he tells his servants, Teru Meches the Mochsin, pay the tax. Amru, no, they tell the king, Valo Kola Meches Kolo Shilchahu. What are you talking? All the taxes go to you. What do you have to pay it for? Amale, Mimeni il Medu Kol Ovred de Rahim, Velo Yavriu Hatzam in a Meches. I want everybody to learn from me that they want to pay taxes. They'll see me paying. They'll say, you know, everybody's got to pay. If the king has to pay the taxes, so the coach again, everybody's got to pay. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar, Ani Hashem, Sore Gezel Be'ola, Mimeni il Medu Banav, Yavriu Hatzam in a Gezel. If the people see that I don't like Gezel, even though technically to me I own it, so Kadahom, that'll stop the people from stealing. Right. Okay, so that's the interpretation. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar Nameh. We have an Amoraic statement that she says, what is this going to prove? It's going to prove that what? That the reason why Gezel on Yom Tov is Asur is because of Mitzvah Ba'ah Na'avera. Why Amar Bi'ami Yavesh Pasul Mepnesh She'en Hadar. Okay, Yavesh, we learned already. Pasul is just lacking in Hadar. Gazul Pasul B'Shem David Mitzvah Ba'ah Na'avera. Clearly, the reason of Gezel is Mitzvah Ba'ah Na'avera. Ufliga the Rabbi Yitzhak. But this is arguing on a statement of Rabbi Yitzhak. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Nachmani Amar Shmuel No Shanu Ela B'Yom Tov Rishon. Ah, when do we say there's a psul of Gezel? Only on Yom Tov Rishon, Abba Yom Tov Sheni. Mitok sheyotze b'sha'ul, yotze nameh b'gazul. He wants to say, listen, once already on the second day, if you can use a lulav that's borrowed, you can lose a lulav that's stolen, which means it doesn't have to be yours. And therefore, once already you see that Sha'ul is okay, he's not making the difference between Sha'ul and Gazul. Bottom line, it does not have to be yours. And he doesn't go with this mitzvah ba'avera, because he holds, the Rishonim learn, that we don't say, the Tosfot actually says on the bottom, we don't say mitzvah ba'avera on a drabbanan. Mitzvah ba'avera is only a sevara on a deoraita. But just the second day of lulav is drabbanan, that still doesn't apply, therefore it's okay. Mativ Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asks on the opinion of Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amishnah, lulav and gazul v'yavesh pasul. Right, the Mishnah said, Yav Yavesh and gazul pasul. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ha-sha'ul kasher. Implying that if it was borrowed, it's okay. Now, Emat, what day are we talking about? If we're talking about the first day in the Mishnah, Kempi, Haketiv Lachim, Mishnah Lachim, which is the implication of a borrowed without being kasher, it's not going to work on the first day. Ela, Labi Yom Tov Sheni. Must be the Mishnah was talking about day two. Viketani, Gazul Pasul. And the Mishnah says, Ulava Gazul Pasul. I'm talking about the second day. That's a question against the Muhammad of Yitzhak Ben Nachman. So the Gemara says, Amarava, that's the way the Rosh has, Le'olam B'Yom Tov Rishon. Really, the Mishnah is talking about Yom Tov Rishon. Ve'lo Me'ba'ya Kamar. The Mishnah is using a Lo Me'ba'ya. Lo Me'ba'ya Sha'ul, Te'lavdidehu. אבל גזול אם הסתם גזלה יאוש בעלים הוא וכתידה דמה כמה שמע לן.
She's like this. The Mishnah doesn't have to tell you Shaul, which means Shaul doesn't belong to you. Which I don't have to tell you that a lulav on the first day that's borrowed, for sure that's not good. You don't own it. The Hiddush in the Mishnah is that even gazul on the first day is no good. What do you mean? Well, what's the hadush in that? Obvious, no. Because I would have thought that maybe Stam Gezel, the guy's Miyaish. When you go up to a guy, what does Gezel mean? That's outright robbery. Not Ganav, that you did it at night. Gezel means you walked up to the guy, right in front of him, you grabbed Lulav out of his hands. So you might assume that what? When a guy sees a bully come and grab the lulav out of his hand, he says, you know what, I'm not getting it back here. I'm in front of the guy grabbed it out of my hand. Right. So I would say, Stam Gezel, what? It's Yush. Now wait, if you say Stam Gezel Yush, so he owns it. Because if you say Yush is Koneh, so now the Gazlan really owns the lulav. So I might have thought, what? That Gezel on the first day is good. Because Gezel is better than Shaul. Yeah. Because there's no way you could own a borrowed item. But there's a way you could own a gezel, right? By yush. And the Hadush of the Mishnah is, no, we don't say stam, the guy's miyayish. And then you cannot assume that the guy's miyayish. Therefore, he's not miyayish, you don't own it. So therefore, the Mishnah is really talking about day one. So you read the Mishnah according to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman like this. Lulav ha-gazul pasul. What day are we talking about? One. Which means... really, Shaul? Of course it's sure Pasul Monday. Well, I'm going to tell you, Shaul. I'm telling you the bigger Hadush. That even where it's, you would have thought that it might be yours, because Stam Yush. Come on, we don't say Stam Yush. Which is until you know the guy made Yush, you cannot use it. Look at Rashi. Kamash Ma'alan. De'ad de Shama'inan de'iyaish. Until you actually hear explicitly that the guy's miyaish. No kanile. De'memar amar. Because the guy will say like this, Hashtahu de takif minai. Listen, today he's stronger than me, he outpowered me. Lemahat tafsina lebedina. Don't worry, tomorrow I'm taking the beddin. What do you think? I'm going to get my lulav back, I'm not giving up over here. So therefore, until you know he made Yehush, you cannot assume he made Yehush. And therefore, you're not, you'll say, that's quite to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman, so we understand. And Yehush, he obviously holds Yehush helps. Badai. Okay, now we go to the new point. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar lehu Ravuna lehanu avnakri. Ravuna told the avnakri, those are the peddlers. Those are the guys that she says, tagare kol davar, which means they're peddlers of all items. Let's take it to make money. Kegon kelim, kitarim, they sell small little vessels, mahatim, like needles, masrekot, combs, lulavin. They're merchants, whatever the item, the jobbers, whatever.
Seasonal merchants.
Right, whatever the merchandise is, that's what they're selling, exactly. Those are called avnakri. So before Sukkot, Amar lehu Ravuna lehanu avnakri. Ravuna would tell the Jewish peddlers, "Ki zavnitu asa me'akum." Listen, when you're going to go buy asa, that's hadas, from the goyim, but they buy from the goyim to sell it to the Jews, right? La tegzizu atun. Don't cut it from their fields. Ela ligzizu ha'inu. Let the goyim cut the. Right. Let the goyim cut the hadas. V'yavu lechu. I let them give it to you. Now, what's the reason? Obilkadashi. Ki zabnitu asam menochrim. Keshetiknu hadas menochrim le'egot behem noshana. Right? They tie it for the lulav. They call the lulav and the hadas araba together. It's called the hoshana. Ligzizu inu. Hem yachtechu mena mechubar v'yitinu lachem. Let them cut and give it to you. So Gemara says, my ta'ma. What's the reason? Why can't the Jewish guy cut it? Setam ovde kochavim gazlane ar ataninu. Stam goy, you have to assume that what? He stole the karka. It's not his field, it's stolen goods. So what's the problem? Well, the karka inan exilit. Problem is, karka is not a tangible. And therefore you can't steal karka. Which is when a guy moves into somebody else's field, they're just standing there. How do you steal karka? You don't pick up the karka. No. So therefore, karka always remains by the original owner. Now, what's going to happen over here? If the original owner is Yisrael, let's assume, right? Mm-hmm. So now the Avnakri is going to come, the Jewish merchant, and he's going to cut. Uh-huh. He's a gazlan now. Because he's stealing from a... What, when you cut, now you're a gazlan. Because now it's not mechobar anymore. Now it's detached. Yeah. So therefore, everyone else says, listen, when you're buying the stuff from the goyim, let them do the cutting. Now we'll see exactly when they do the cutting, how it helps. But we see clearly how when the Avnakri is going to do the cutting, it's a problem. Because at that point when they do the cutting, they become gazlanim. Now, look at the taplashi. The karka ena nigzelet. Kilomar ena kinuya legazlan b'shum yeush. Which means even if the owners make yeush and all that, there's no kinyan. You normally on a metaltin item, if the owner makes yeush, the gazlan owns it. However, the le'olam b'haskat b'aliyahi, which means karka always remains in the hand of the owner. Yeush doesn't help, nothing helps. Now, you cut the fields, you cut the hadas, it's a hadas tree. That's when you become a thief, when you cut it. It's a hadas tree. At the time you cut it, that's when you became you a koneh. Now watch. The mikra'e nafka b'gozer batra b'rezikin. Haba b'shinitla shaperi. But once you cut it, now it's not a tangible. Now it's a tangible. Havi gezel. V'atulsho hu gozlo. The one that cuts it, he's the gazlan. Hilkach ligzizua ed mena mechubar.
let the goy cut it. Don't get involved with the gezel. Let the goy cut it. If it's a goy's field, it's very good, but you don't know whose field it is. If you know it's a goy's field, then of course you can cut it. The hiddush is when you're buying stamp from a goy, you don't know where his property is. You don't know if he stole it. You know what? Don't get involved with this cutting of it. It could be it's a Jew's property. Therefore, as she says, let the goy be the gazlan. Now, we assume that that's in the ba'alim had yeush. Which means the yeush was by the goy. Right? The goy has it, the owner made yeush. Now you got Yeush giving it to the Avna Kri. It's a Yeush and a Shinui Reshut. This opinion is going Yeush alone is not Kone. Aval Yeush v'Shinui Reshut Kane. And therefore you have no problem. Now she goes on to say V'ina me Kane. And even if you want to say that Yeush is Kone, which means you'll say like this: let the Avnakli cut it.
He's
Kone. What do you mean? You worried about him owning it, right? He owns it. Yeah, but as she says, Mitzvah Bavavavavi. Imatim Tahtechu Aminim Obatiu Atim Goz Gazlim. Which is true, you own it, but you did an Avera. Right? Because you were Gozim. Wow. But you own it. So therefore, as she says, there's no option for the Avnakli to cut it. Again,
Avnakli.
Doesn't matter, but once he cuts it, he's a Gazlan. Once he's a gazlan, it's a mitzvah ba'avera. These over here are not going to be good. Now, you're right. Could be if he's selling it to another guy, it'll be okay. But if the Gemara is going to say in the maskana that the Avnakli is using it himself, and if the Avnakli is using itself, the payment is going to be a mitzvah ba'avera. Very good point. But the point is, let's speak out the mechanics again over here. You have a field. Okay, we don't know who owns this field. If we know that the goy owns the field, there would be no story over here. Let the goy cut it, or let the Avnakli cut it. There's a difference. There's no issue to cut a goy's field. The problem is we don't know if this field was stolen by a Jew. From a Jew. The goy stole the field from a Jew.
We say you assume that a goy stole the field.
Well, that's the problem. Since we assume that the goy steals it, so therefore Abuna advised the Avnakris, don't cut it. Because when you're going to cut it, so now could be you're going to be the gazlan over here. Because the Jew owns it, and when you cut from the field, so you're going to own it now. Now, if you're going to hold that, the owner made Yeush. Okay, so even if you hold that Yeush is Kone. Doesn't matter. Bottom line, this is stolen goods now. You own it, but it's Mitzvah Ba'avirah. According to Rashi, you got the Hadas Ba'avera, now you cannot use it for a mitzvah. Or you could say Yush is not Kone at all. If you hold Yush is not Kone, then for sure the Avnakri's got a problem. Because he's holding stolen goods, he doesn't even own it. But if the Goy cuts it, so the Goy is the Gazlan. What do you got to worry about the Goy? Let the Goy be the Gazlan. Now what's going to happen? He'll give it to you. When you get it already, it's called Shinui Reshut. So you have Yush of the owners, plus Shinui Reshut, according to everybody, okay. Yush and Shinui Reshut is Kone, and therefore you have no problem. So comes the Mefarshim, and they ask a very strong question over here. They say like this, what are they telling when the discussion over here is that she says Mitzvah Ba'avera?
Right.
So how come that she didn't say a better reason? That when the Avnakri cuts it himself, he's a gazlan. Which you're hitting me now that she says, oh, you should know that even if you want to say that Yeush is Kone, but bottom line, when the guy's going to cut it, the Avnakri, it's going to be Mitzvah Ba'avera. What does he got to come up to Mitzvah Ba'avera? If it's owned by a Jew, and Avnakri cuts it, that she should say, he's a gazlan. Forget about Mitzvah Ba'avera before you get to the laws of Sukkot. It's a din and gezel. And so the question that she learned that Mr. Avnakri, don't cut it. Because even if you hold Yeush's Koneh, when you're going to cut it, you own it now. Beautiful, you own it now.
Yeah,
but by the way, you're a gazlan. Right. So that she says, well, Mitzvah Ba'avera, you can't use it. Rashi, before you get the Mitzvah Ba'avera, you should say you can't cut it because you're a thief. So to that, the Pnei Yeshua answers, and he says, Rov Karkaot that are by the Goyim are not Gizulot. That's the fact. So therefore, Legabe the Isur of Gezel, you could assume that what? Rov really belong to the goyim, and therefore that's not going to be the problem. If that neckly cuts, he's going to be a gazlan. But legabe mitzvot, we're mahmir. Legabe fulfilling a mitzvah, he wants to say, then we're going to be mahmir and assume the problem, and therefore that she hits the issue of mitzvah. So Pinus wants to mahalik between the isud of gezer that you rely on growth. But legabe the mitzvah, then anyway, there's no goyim that steal the property. So therefore you have a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, this is on the third line, sof. Bottom line, ki gezizu avnechri. What's the problem? Not the avnechri. Okay, good. So the yush will be in their hands. Vishinuya they shoot biyadam. Well, aren't they selling it? So therefore, the chaura, what was Ravuna telling the Avnakri, don't cut it? They can cut the adasim. Because bottom line is always gonna be a yush and then a shinui they shoot. Now again, you have to speak out. We're not worried about the gezil aspect of the Avnakri, because bottom line, we're not sure. No, Yehush, Bavim, they're Gazlanim. But we're not sure that the field was stolen. And therefore, we're not getting them from Gazlanim. But we're saying, why did Davuna tell them, you can't cut it, because that doesn't even be a problem. Must be a problem. You cut. Shinu the shoot next. Right. So Gemara says, Lo Sericha, Boshana, the Avnakri Gufayu. No, we're talking about the Avnakri themselves are using them. They're not selling. There's no resale over here. So therefore, if the Avnakri himself wants to use it, there's no shinu reshut. So then we say, listen, you're going to be the shinu reshut. Which means when the goy gives it to you, you're the second stage. So therefore, that's why I said that they should cut it and not you. So the Gemara says, hold it. Velikniyua bishinui maaseh. There's another type of item. Which means like this. You have yush. Okay, we're saying yush, let's say alone is not enough. So you can have yush and shinui reshut is kone. Or you have yush and shinui maaseh. What is shinui ma'aseh? If you change the item, you have the item, you stole it as A, and then you did something to it, and you changed its essence, that's called a shinui ma'aseh. So yeush with a shinui ma'aseh is koneh. So the Gemara is saying like this. Oh, so the Avnakri is using it for himself? No problem. Let him cut. Also, he's cutting, so that's already you have yeush. Plus the shinui Maaseh. Now, where's the shinui maaseh? Where's the shinui maaseh? So the Gemara says, look at that she. Nikniyua bishinui maaseh sheagad sheloshet taminim yahad. Because this opinion saying you got to tie the 11 the other species together. The shinui maaseh namikane, which means now it's no longer just a hadas anymore. Now it's part of a, lulav. It's part of a part of an egged, and therefore you have your shinui maaseh. So Ravuna, what do you want? Just tell the Avnakri, cut. You have your yehush, you have your shinui maaseh. The chaura, you have no problem. So to that, the Gemara says no. The imtiv sedomar lulav sarich egged. So kasabar. Lulav in sarich eged. This opinion is holding, you don't got to tie the lulav. And therefore, even if you tie it, since the tying is not necessary, you could always untie it. And therefore, the shinui, you don't have to tie the hadassim to the lulav. There's one thing that says you actually have to take the hadassim, not a board, not and tie them together. So if you hold, you have to do that. That's considered the shinui ma'aseh. The owner. Davnakli.
He's using it.
Again, if your hold is a machlok, does the lulav need an egged or not? So the Gemara said, let the Avnakli cut the hadassim himself. Let him take him, tie it to his lulav. Once he ties it to his lulav, so you have a shinui maaseh. So you have a yeush plus a shinui maaseh. It's his. What's the problem? The Gemara says, no. We're just going with the opinion that says lulav en sarich egged. You don't have to tie it. If you don't tie it, you don't have a shinui maaseh. Therefore, he doesn't own it. So the Gemara says, Terat Gemara says, V'imtum selomal lulav sarich eged. And even if you want to say, according to the opinion that says that lulav sarich eged, shinuya hozer lebriyato. The shinuya hozer lebriyato la sheme shinui. The Gemara wants to say a hadush like this. Any shinui that can go back to its original status is not a shinui. Which means, I guess, after Sukkot, untie it, and you still have your regular hadas like it was. Which, when do we talk about a shinui? You took a piece of wood and you turned it into a cup, right? You built something out of it. Okay, that's it. And then you made it a permanent shinui. But this type of shinui over here is a shinui ha-hozer. So therefore, even if you want to say shinui is koneh, and even if you want to say lulav sarich eged, but since it can return back, revert back to its original item, a form, it's not a shinui. So to that, the Gemara says, "Look at that. She said the briyato matir agdan varehen kebrishona." Right? You just untie it, and it goes back to its original status. Good. So comes the Gemara and says, one more point: the liknia b'shinui Hashem. We have another way to be koneh. Yeush with shinui Hashem. If the name of the item changes, he owns it. Meaning, the meikara havide asa vehashta hoshana. Originally, when they're selling it before the holiday, the hadas is called an asa. Once you buy it for Sukkot and you attach it with the lulav, now it's called a hoshana, and therefore. What's it called? Hoshana. It's Shinui Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Me'ikara name le'asa Hoshana karule," which means they also called Asa Hoshana. I mean, when they're selling these items for Sukkot, they call it Hoshana. Therefore, it's not considered really a Shinui Hashem. Now, the Kaora, we just said above that a Shinui Hachozer Libriyato is not a shinui, and therefore seemingly over here with this shinui Hashem, after the holiday it's going to go back to becoming asa, which means it's only called Hoshana when you're bundling it. So then what was the Gemara's half a minute? What's the Gemara's question? Oh, shinui Hashem. What do you mean the shinui Hashem? It's also temporary. It's not going to be called Hoshana Fem. It's going to go back to be calling it asa. So the Tosafot answers on the Amud Sheni, the bottom Tosafot, that what the Gemara is saying like this. Let the Gemara say like this. It'll be koneh b'shinui Hashem with the shinui Maaseh. Which means like this. You want to tell me that this shinui Maaseh is a weak shinui Maaseh. Why? Because it's shinui Maaseh that is Chozer. Fine. But maybe with a shinui Maaseh that's Chozer, plus a shinui Hashem, even though it's Chozer, maybe combo the Shinui Maaseh and the Shinui Hashem, maybe that'll be the Kenyan. And to that, the Gemara says, no, you never have a Shinui Hashem, which means it was always called a Hoshana, even from the beginning. So therefore, Tosfot introduced a new Sevara, that with two items that are Chozer, could be a Koneh. So let's just review what happened over here. Basically, we just learned the Sugya, where Rav Huna was giving advice to the Avnakri. When you buy the hadassim from the goyim, don't cut it. Let the goy cut it. Baruch Adonai le'olam.
Amen. Amen.